As we enter a time of prayer, I'd like to point out that we have three prayer quilts today. They're made by a group of volunteers who meet every Monday morning. They piece, they cut, they sew, they do all of it together. And if you'd like to be interested, part of that ministry or interested in it, just check right on the back of your card and your connection card, and someone will talk with you about that. It is a wonderful ministry. You have the opportunity to tie a knot in the quilt and offer a prayer, and those quilts will be out in the entranceway to the sanctuary, and then you can also sign a card. Those quilts will be delivered this week, and these people will know that they are held in the prayers of this church. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Lord, what good gifts you bring. From the summer promise of vegetables and fruit fresh in this state. What good gifts you bring in the long days and the warmth of the sun, and for opportunities to enjoy the water in all kinds of forms in this beautiful place. Oh, Lord, what good gifts you bring in family gatherings and laughter with friends and these summer days. And we are so, so thankful. What good gifts you bring in the promise of life through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so thankful. But Lord, we also know that this world is not one that always helps us to remember the good gifts and the abundance. Because of the burdens that are here too, oh Lord, we are troubled. For some, we're troubled, not only for our own lives, but that of our loved ones, troubled in body and mind and spirit. We are troubled, Lord, by news that we hear, for people who live in fear and terrorism and war, for those in chronic pain, for those who struggle in addiction, and for those who are alone. Lord, there is trouble out there. Some of it we hold ourselves, some we hold for our loved ones, and others. It's happening to people we can't name, but our heart aches for them and for this world that's troubled. And so, Lord, with our mix of thankfulness for abundance, we also have a heart for the pain. And we desire your presence, your abundant presence, your gracious and your merciful and your giving presence in those places as well. On this day, when we remember that we are united in Christ, we give thanks that we are sons and daughters that have been pulled in and adopted by you, heirs for your reign. And we ask, Lord, that you might unite us as Christians across the world in the essentials. Belief in your Son, risen, crucified, dead, and risen for us. That we are united in your will for the world and for all people, that they might walk in your way and know you fully. Lord, unite us in love with Christ and love with each other. Help us to seek understanding so that when we talk with people of different denominations, we are asking more questions than making pronouncements. Help us to seek common ground. What and whom do we love together? And help us, Lord, to celebrate the making of disciples wherever it happens and however it happens in this world, that you are behind it and people are coming to faith. Help us to sing your praises for that. And Lord, now, may we be one as we lift to you in faith and trust the prayers of our own hearts. Now, Lord, unite us as you did your disciples in praying the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from John 17, verses 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me.
I want to introduce John Park. And so if John wants to come up, John will be bringing our message today. John has been a United Methodist pastor for over 40 years. Although his family, when he was a child, might have been surprised by that. He was raised here in Brighton, so he's a child of the town. And what was your dad's name?
Colt.
For those of you who've been around a while, Colt Park, he ran an insurance agency downtown. I see some nods heads.
That was middle of downtown on
yes.
Main Street.
Yep. And I am just so pleased that John and his spouse Madeline have chosen this church to retire to, and so we are just so blessed to have them here.
Thank you, Sherry. Yeah. Good morning, shepherds. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to you and all of the people. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I'm borrowing a Celtic prayer. Will you pray with me? Son of God, perform a miracle for me. Change my heart. You whose crimson blood redeems mankind, whiten my heart. It is you who makes the sun bright and the ice sparkle. You who makes the river flow and the salmon leap. Your skilled hand makes the nut tree blossom and the corn turn golden. Your spirit composes the songs of the birds and the buzz of the bees. Your creation is a million wondrous miracles, beautiful to behold, and I ask of you just one more miracle. Beautify my soul. Amen. Well, somebody, and not I, said that you can tell the whole Bible in 50 words. I don't know if you can or not, but I'm going to try. God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split, Jacob fooled, Joseph ruled, Bush talked, Moses balked, Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, tablets guided, promise landed, Saul freaked and David peeked. Prophets warned, Jesus born, God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died, love rose, spirit flamed, word spread, God remained. If that's the whole Bible in 50 words, rather than focus on all of it, I want to take just part of it. From Romans, the 14th chapter, a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in and around Rome. Since he wrote it like a sermon, I've chosen to read it as part of the sermon. So Paul and I are doing this together, rather than a standalone scripture. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who's been around a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything, while another with a different background might assume all Christians should be vegetarians. But since they are both guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list? Or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy. Another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. And there are good reasons for either way. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. None of us is permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It is God that we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range from life to death, and he could free us from the tyrannies, the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly. Or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side, facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. So you've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need. Don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced. Jesus convinced me that everything in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, we can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, completes it with joy. And your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you will be pleasing to God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let us agree to use all of our energy in getting along with each other. Help each other with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. I said it before, I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it to trip others up. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should be to share the life of Jesus. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. Well, good morning. I am John Park, as Pastor Sherry has already told you. And Phil Robertson on Duck Dynasty, somebody here might know who he is or what that show is. Phil Robertson likes to say, happy, happy, happy. Well, I'm happy, happy, happy also. I'm happy to be here with you. What a great place. What a great people. What a great church. What a great way to spend a beautiful August Sunday morning. I'm happy that when I woke up, I was excited to find out what I was going to say. And I'm happy that Dr. Parker Lewis invited me. She counts on me every once in a while to help in ministry, and I appreciate that. I am happy to be here. This sermon began in Pastor Sherry's office a few months ago. She sat me down and said, I'm working on a summer series about the big questions in life. I meant to tell you, I didn't think of it in time, but I wanted her to include, if mares eat oats and does eat oats, do little lambs eat ivy. I'm just thinking that's what keeps me awake at night. She said, I want you to preach on the question, why don't Christians get along with each other? I mean, so often people outside of the faith will say to us, if you folks can't even agree, why should I want to be part of that? Well, that's a pretty good question. We talked about John 17 that was read a few moments ago as a scripture. And I want to say, when you read that at home, add verses 24, 25, and 26 also to it. Jesus is in the garden. He's done communion with the disciples. He's gone out to be betrayed. He prays to God, and what does he pray for? That the 12 and those who would become part of that ever-expanding circle would be one. Even as Father and Son are one. We talked about, of course, the Old Testament concept that Jesus picked up and reinforced. There is one thing required in life, to love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And one of the gospel writers adds strength. What they're saying is, with everything that you have, love God completely. And yes, it can be done. And then without a pause, Jesus added, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There is nothing else in life. And of course, as Methodists do, we talked about using scripture, tradition, reason, and experience as we've been reinforcing things this summer using those. My contribution to the conversation was to say, Sherry, there's a story, an old story that I want to tell. I want to talk a little bit about human nature. I want to talk about Romans 14 as my text for the day, a significant passage of Scripture for me, and a much longer story about it than what I have time for. And, of course, I want to talk about John Wesley. So I'm going to. The story, which you probably have heard before, goes something like this. After a tremendous tropical storm in the South Pacific, a ship blown off course discovered an island, saw an island that's not on the charts, not on the maps, nobody knew it was there, but they saw smoke rising up, as smoke will do. They saw what appeared to be a small village on the coastline. When they landed, they discovered that one person lived on the island and never anymore. It wasn't like this one was the last of a group. No, been there for 20 years by himself. But he showed everybody around the things that he'd built, the things that he'd done, the garden, his house. And he was very proud to show him a little chapel, a church that he had built a little bit back from the coastline. This is where I worship every Sunday. I lead the worship. I sing the songs. This is my church. As they were going back to the coast, they passed by another church. Man lived alone 20 years, never been anyone else. And the captain says, "But what's this?" And the man says, "Well, that's the church I used to attend." I'll wait. The point is, there are divisions among us. There are differences among us. Even when we're by ourselves, we can't get along with everybody. Why don't we get along better with other Christians? I love my father. I missed him. Sherry mentioned him. Brighton Insurance Agency, middle of downtown, 307, there for a long time. My father, in talking about what we're talking about now, that is the differences between people, whatever the subject was, my father would say, that's what makes a horse race. Now, my father was good at giving commands, at making arbitrary statements. He was not good at explaining. And so as a little child, I heard that hundreds of times before it dawned on me that what he was saying. You got 8, 10, 12, 18 horses in a horse race, and every person who bets is convinced that that horse, no this horse, no this horse, no this horse, is going to win. That's what makes a horse race, the differences of opinions. But I'm saying to you that sometimes opinions can get in the way, can't they? The problem is not out there. The problem is within us. Look at just the Methodist family tree. Loretta Job found for me a chart I knew we had around here. From John Wesley's time on down till now, there are 23 separate identifiable denominations, churches, that we are. Now, most of us here can't name maybe more than a few, like Evangelical Brethren, for example. We can't name more than a few of the 23. But when we were separate, we just never did get along or talk that much to each other. And we're all Methodists. It gets worse when we broaden God's family circle. So the answer for me to today's question comes from Romans 14. We're back to that. Jesus started with 12 disciples. Only 12. They were not overly Jewish Jews. They were busy with other things. They were not priests. They were not scribes. They were not keepers of the law or recorders of it. Several of the 12 disciples used their Gentile name, rather than the name of their birth, the name of their tradition, the name of their heritage, the name of their religion. Not overly, started with 12, but by the time of Paul the Apostle in the late first century, the church had grown, had spread, had expanded, had moved out, had become more encompassing. You know how Jesus talked in one of the parables about yeast being in the bread, and it just, its influence just exudes everywhere in that bread? The church grew and expanded, and it wasn't long before we were taking in people that the original, from places that the original 12 had never heard of, never visited. We were taking into the church people who didn't have the background of the Jewish disciples. We were taking in, as Christians, people with different opinions, different traditions, different experiences. The Jewish background was no longer the all-consuming one. Now there were others to deal with. And some wanted to impose the old ways on the new people. And Paul had to say, we are one in Christ. It is Christ that is important. And our backgrounds, our ways of understanding, our ways of interpreting, our ways of worshiping, maybe, can be, it's okay if they're different. But the people in their differentness are not wrong, bad, or still outsiders. Let's make room. The question for the church is, what do we do with each other? And the answer then, and the answer now, it is, it was, and it always will be, the answer is love. And yes, there's a fourth thing that I mentioned in Sherry's office, that is Wesley. And I said to her, okay, I don't have to write this sermon. John Wesley wrote a sermon called Catholic Spirit. It's number 39 for those of you who have that list memorized. Written in 1749, 1750, he talks about this very thing. Why don't we get along with other Christians? How can we get along with other Christians? His answer is love. It's an old sermon, but it's a good sermon. I commend it to you. The opening paragraph, which I started to read in the first service, 147 words. You have to listen. I was reading this, and my wife, back where Jerry Good is sitting, gives me the sign. Which I then had to point out to everyone else, I've just gotten the sign. Because Madeline, a person that I love dearly, is one of those people who says to me often, too much Wesley. But I like it. It's a good sermon. It would have saved me all of the time if I'd just given you copies of it. I can tell you how to get it later. But I am not going to read for you all of the yellow markings on the next three pages. His sermon, by the way, is 8 pages long, a small type. The man could fill up your time with words. His answer is love. Love. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in Christ, and we are one. Well, some other scripture. John 13:35 comes to mind. That's where Jesus says, I've given you a new commandment, that you love one another. A new commandment, replacing the old. Love one another. And then he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It can't get clearer than that, folks. They will see that we are disciples when we start loving one another. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, well, let's soften that down a bit to maybe indifferent. If anyone says, I love God, but is indifferent to everyone else, is a liar. For anyone who does not love the one that they can see cannot say they love the one they cannot see. 2 John 1:5, I urge you, love one another. Tertullian in the first century, as an outsider, said, see how they love one another. The problem is not that there are differences between the us's and the them's in the body of Christ. The problem is not that we have different backgrounds or different understandings or different value systems. We have Christ. We are one. The problem is not all of those things. The problem is that we know what to do. And we choose not to do it. Could I say it more clearly? Love is a choice. We focus on the differences at times instead of the one, the unifying, the central thing, Jesus Christ. There's an old tradition in the church. All traditions are old, so that's redundant. But there's an old tradition that when John the Apostle, the only one of the original 12 disciples to live to old age, the only one to live more than a couple of years after the death of Jesus, the only one to die of natural causes, when he was an old man, could no longer move about, he would be carried by his disciples on his bed. They would carry him to place where the Christians were meeting. And then at the meeting, when asked when it was his time, he would say, "Little children, love one another." 5 words. After a time, the disciples got weary of the same message. I mean, same thing. Why? So they said, "Master, why do you always say when asked, 'Little children, love one another'?" And then it is that this aged saint of God said, "It is the Lord's command. It's the Lord's command. And if this is done alone, it is enough. There is no more. Love one another. Love those who are part of this body of Christ throughout the world. And let all know that we are disciples because we love one another." God bless you.